The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby.
What
we
up,
are
dope.
Jalen Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jamal Murray has extended the Denver Nuggets season. Nate McMillan is no longer the head coach of the Pacers, but we start with Kawhi and Paul George. Yes, Paul George and Montrezl Harrell all having big games in a dominant win over the Mavericks. Jalen, did you like what you saw from the Clippers?
I did, and you know how much I love boxing, arguably more than basketball. And watching this series and the Lakers, who I anticipate were going to win in five when it started, it's the culmination of punches. And so now all of a sudden, when you pick a team, it looks good. Yeah, Luka's been outstanding, and he's captured our imagination that let us know that he's going to be one of the great players to do this for a really long time. But what ends up happening in a series is like different rounds of a fight. And later in the fight, those body blows and those headshots start to have an accumulation. There's aches and pains. There's nicks and bruises. You start to get familiar with your opponent, and then your depth starts to play a factor. And one of the things that the Dallas Mavs are going to have to caution themselves going forward is, can Kristaps Porzingis stay healthy? Just think about this, Jacoby. There was a 3 or 4 month span before the bubble started. And he started in the bubble and he looked outstanding at moments. But then now in the playoffs, he's injured. So I just hope going forward with his size that he's going to be able to stay healthy because they're a dynamic duo. As it relates to the Clippers, they're just a better team. They have more depth. Their big-time player showed up. And that's how you get a victory in the playoff series.
You know, I've been working in the media for a very long time, and we always ask for honesty and candidness from our athletes. And we got some of that from Paul George, who after the game said the bubble was getting to him. He said he was dealing with anxiety, said he was dealing with depression, and he got a lot of support and feels like he's back and engaged. And I just want to celebrate him for being so honest, because that's not an easy thing to admit, especially when you are a star basketball player going on a championship run, to say, listen, I had some trouble for a couple weeks upstairs in my own mental health. And we're all dealing with mental health problems at some level during this summer. I just want to celebrate him for coming out and saying that. And I hope that he's got it all figured out, because it certainly looked like he did yesterday. What do you think, Jalen?
I think you articulated that very well, and I agree with you. Anytime you're dealing with a pandemic and everybody's quarantined, that means you're sitting still. And when you're sitting still, you start to think. You're not under your normal schedule, and people aren't moving and functioning. The economy is horrible. People are losing their jobs. You're not playing the game that you love. There's no fans in the stands. And then you still have to go out and be A-plus at your job. I appreciate him saying it, number one, but also saying it as a black man. Because so many times that we're required to be so very strong and so very macho that can run through a brick wall and nothing phases us. And then all of a sudden you show a level of humility. And I appreciate him saying that into a microphone.
Jalen, we need to lean on your NBA experience and you to take us behind the curtain. We've all seen it by now. It is Marcus Morris of the Clippers stepping on the injured ankle of Luka Doncic. He has come out and said that that was absolutely unintentional, no intention whatsoever to injure Luka Doncic. Jalen, do you believe him that this was an accident?
I'm not proud of this. I don't think it's cute or cool, but sometimes things happen when you're trying to win basketball games. If that was me, it would have been on purpose. When I watched it, I thought it was on purpose. He came out and said it wasn't on purpose. And you know those are my guys, the Morris twins. We got to get them on the show to talk about it. But this is what he does as a seasoned veteran, bring a level of physicality and to get under the other team's skin. The other best player on the Mavs is Porzingis. And do you remember earlier in the series when he got tangled up with somebody and then all of a sudden that led to Kristaps Porzingis getting ejected from the game? right? Mm-hmm. Getting ejected from the game. So as an OG, he's an irritant along with being productive. And so I am not surprised that he's only been mixed up with everybody on the roster, including their two best players.
Well, there's the action on the floor, and of course, there's what's going on in our country in the wake of the Jacob Blake shooting, and Doc Rivers spoke about it after the game.
All you do is keep hearing about fear. It's amazing to me why we keep loving this country, and this country does not love us back. What white father has to give his son a talk about being careful if you get pulled over? It's just ridiculous. It keeps going. There's no charges. Breonna Taylor, no charges, nothing. All we're asking is you live up to the Constitution. That's all we're asking for everybody, for everyone.
Jalen, your thoughts?
So I know, like, when these conversations about humanity are had, there are going to be pockets of people in the privacy of their home or amongst their friends that look at one another and say, can we just talk about basketball? You know, I'm kind of, you know, sick of hearing about the social justice that people of color keep talking about. And so here's what I want to do right now, Jacoby. I'll just introduce a word that we want to see: accountability. What Doc Rivers just said, we're not asking for anything special. We're not asking for no favors. We're asking to be respected and treated as equal. And so all of the people that he just acknowledged, just think about this, Jacoby. We know sports like the back of our hand. And sadly, I know the names of Tamir Rice and Eric Garner and Trayvon Martin and George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery. Like, I know these names, and it's important for me to keep saying these names for public consumption, because in most of those cases, and I'm gonna go back to my word, the police who are paid to protect and serve us, and vigilante cops and or those acting on behalf of law enforcement, you know what they did, Jacoby? Lie on the police report. Lie on the police report. And then the cops either don't get disciplined, don't get fired, don't get put in jail. So imagine if somebody committed a crime against you and no justice was served for over 400 years. How would you feel about it? It ain't just happened. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, we have some of the greatest civil rights leaders of all time. The best thing that has ever happened to the movement is a cell phone. Because now people like Jerry Jones, like, oh, well, this is happening? Yes, this is happening. And we need to get some solutions and make some change.
I think that the word accountability is really important in this discussion, because these police officers are acting as if there aren't consequences, because so often there aren't. They are so rarely charged. And when they're charged, they are so rarely convicted. And they so rarely serve any time for the murders or the assaults or the shootings that they do. And you see this happen just months after this sort of like racial reckoning in our country. You see this happen, the audacity of this police officer to shoot an unarmed person seven times. It's almost as if that person understands and is acting as if there is no consequence. And those are the things that need to change. And also, Doc also mentioned this when he was discussing it yesterday, is the way that police officers are trained needs to be completely reformed as well. It's so tragic happening in the way.
And a quick point, my brother, well said. A quick point is that, you know how in sports sometimes when things happen in life and you like, you know what? I'm not going to say this or say that because it'll be tone deaf. You would think if they wanted to behave in this manner, okay, they would make sure during a quarantine that they would at least try to clean it up. Jacoby, you and I were talking about this before George Floyd on this show. We were talking about, like, wait a minute. People aren't even outside going to restaurants. The people aren't even outside. Yet the few people that happen to be outside find themselves on the wrong end of encounters with law enforcement. It just has to change.
It absolutely does. Moving on, back to some basketball news. Elton Brand, the general manager of the 76ers, who's made a lot of moves during his tenure there, says that he is not going to make a move to trade Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid. You and I disagree with this. What do you think he should do?
Multimedia that are trumpeting that I agree. That's what he's supposed to say. What do you think he's supposed to say? Okay, he's a general manager. His job should be to field calls at all times to improve his roster. And the only two people that somebody's going to be calling about based on their current contractual situations are Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I'm no fool. I know both of these are great players, but they operate at their apex at the same real estate in front of the hoop. So if you could get a nice deal, you see what Paul George went for to the Clippers from OK. If you could get a great deal, you got to consider it. But here's what I want you to think about, Jacoby. There aren't many teams that Joel Embiid actually fits with.
No.
And I know people are going to be like, oh, that's crazy, right? He is a fantastic player. But there are superstar-level players that you can just plug in anywhere and they're going to go ball. And then there are those all-star, can-be, all-NBA-level players. It's about the situation. So on paper, it's like, oh, go put them in Golden State. No, not really. They want to spread out. They want to shoot the three. And, you know, that. So I can go down teams in the lottery, for example, that probably wouldn't be a fit. Of course, based on his contractual situation. And so if I'm Philadelphia, I am considering it.
I'm absolutely considering moving Joel Embiid based on what I saw in the bubble and what I've seen from him in his entire career and what Philadelphia should do with their roster. One thing he didn't mention was trading Horford or Harris because nobody wants those contracts. So he didn't have to mention that. But if you look at Joel Embiid's performance over the course of a game, this is now a pattern. It looks like he gets fatigued as the contest goes on. It's just the way it is when you watch the games. Anyone who's watched a Sixers game has seen his performance decline as the game moves on, and the numbers also back it up. Look at the shooting percentage going way down, the rebounds going way down, and the fouls going up. And it's not like he's playing less minutes in the second half either.
Jacoby, here's the one thing as a player, as you start to get older, we joke about the inability to stop on a dime. Okay, when you see Russell Westbrook going as fast as he can and he just launches from the elbow, that's called stopping on the dime, right? When you watch a Philadelphia 76ers game, the most skilled, the most talented big man on their team, one of the best ones in the game, all NBA player, Joel Embiid is always on the floor. Why is he always on the floor? Because not only he has a history of injury, but there's something that, like your legs become rubber. So now he just bumps into somebody. It could be a smaller guy. It could be a bigger guy. He just falls down. Like I would believe in the previous game that they just, the previous series that they just played, he probably fell 50 times. And you remember that for Dwayne Wade earlier in his career as a smaller guy, he had to learn how to navigate to stay on his feet. And then he was able to keep himself healthy. Joel is going to continue to have to be load managed because he hasn't been able to stay healthy. So to your point, it's kind of hard to stay in tip-top shape when you can't practice every day and or play every game.
Nate McMillan is surprisingly out of the head coach of the Pacers. We'll discuss that and much more. Stay tuned.
Where's
you're watching
bag?
Jalen and Jacoby. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. It is time for the segment where Jalen decides what we discuss. It is Keep It Moving. If you would like to discuss the topic, just say hit the brakes. If not, me, you, and Beth the Band jump in the minivan and keep it moving. And we start with some breaking news. Surprising out of Indiana. Looks like there's a coaching vacancy. Keep moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes.
Nate McMillan, fresh off an extension, has been relieved of his duties as the head coach of the Pacers. What does this tell you in terms of timing?
You know how much affection I have for Indianapolis and the Pacers and everything they did for me, my career, and ultimately moving me to the suburbs and stabilizing my career. I'm really disappointed about how this all played out for multiple reasons. Number one, he's done an amazing job with that team. Okay, to play in that market, Jacoby, you're not just getting the A-list free agent that's going to come there and sign a max deal. You have to draft well, and you have to trade well. And then you have to nurture the players that you have. And then all of a sudden, you can go sign a Malcolm Brogdon. But first, you got to get Oladipo for Paul George from OKC. And then all of a sudden, he becomes an all-star. And then Sabonis this year was an all-star. They outplayed expectations basically each time. And so for him to just get an extension, for them to be so banged up in the playoffs, and them to fire him right after this, during this climate, in a bubble, when teams talking about cost cutting based on the climate and the unemployment rate and, you know, just how COVID has damaged the economy. But the other thing, he just so happens to be a black man doing a really good job, but they just fired him seemingly for no reason after just giving him an extension. So I can't wait to hear why they felt like this was the time to relieve him of his duties.
If they just gave him an extension, which they did, and they lost a series that wasn't that competitive to the Heat, who are a great team, without an all-star player, something tells me that there was a big blow-up. That's my guess, reading between the lines, that there was a big blow-up between the front office members and Nate McMillan that sort of led to them parting ways so soon after getting an extension. Moving on, we have a big decisive game 5 in the Western Conference tonight. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Houston Rockets and the Thunder are now tied at 2-2. How do you think this series will swing this evening?
So initially when this series started, I think the Rockets announced that Russell was going to miss the first couple of games. And now that it's later in the series, I'll say on wax something I told you off wax, is that I don't believe he's going to play this series. So therefore, if the Houston Rockets are going to find a way to advance, of course, James Harden has got to be terrific. And his terrific is 40-plus. Daniel House Jr. has to be making shots and be a wild card. Covington, Gordon, Austin Rivers can't have zero like he did in the previous game. But for the Thunder, it's their three-guard flow. Can their three guards control the tempo? That's going to be the key.
Keep an eye on Schroeder. I love Schroeder so much. One of my favorite six men of the year candidates. Moving on, the Detroit Lions canceled practice.
Hit the brakes.
Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia made a statement about the reason they canceled practice. Just football didn't seem important. He wanted to make sure that his guys were okay in the wake of the Jacob Blake shooting. What do you think about this move from the Lions and Patricia?
So, you know, I always talk about the score of the game and the game of life. And there are a lot of teams on multiple different levels that actually went out and practiced with heavy hearts and things on their mind as it relates to social injustice that are taking place in our country. But I'm proud of my Detroit Lions to be the one team to actually make a difference, be the loudest voices. And I know when we look up and we start talking about all-time great teams and franchises and championships, of course, we're going to be the laughing stock. But today, they're getting a championship banner in my heart.
That is well put. Even I cannot make fun of the Lions today. Moving on, Russell Wilson says he wants to play football for quite some time. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
No surprises. As long as they're going to pay you, keep doing it. Keep it moving.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
We have the first no-hitter of the MLB season. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Did you say baseball? Keep it moving.
Wake up. Jalen, wake up. Jalen, wake up.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Messi might be on the move. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
It's going to be news when he lands somewhere. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Jalen, a piece of hip-hop history.
Hit the brakes.
Up for auction. The famous crown that Biggie Smalls wore in some of the most legendary images of him is now up for auction. It says it might go for about $300,000. Will you be bidding on this piece of history?
I was bidding on that piece of history until the $300,000 figure came out of your mouth. As you was introducing this topic, I was thinking about the Jada bust, and I was thinking, I'm getting that crown. And in my head, I played What's Your Number? And I was like, I'll go $50,000 to $75,000 to get that. That's what I was telling myself. Yes. And then you said $300,000, so not going to be able to do it.
I will go $50 to $75 on that. Moving on. Huge game tonight between the Lakers and the Blazers without Dame Lillard. We'll preview that and much more. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Jamal Murray put on for Denver last night to extend their season. What a star turn it was from Murray. What do you think of the performance?
That's what I'm talking about. I told you I was worried about the pecking order with our Nuggets that we've been gassing the last couple of years, led by the Joker, hitting five threes, and Murray taking 25 shots because he need to. Not spreading them out throughout the roster and being aggressive, putting up great numbers. I'm loving the duel between him and Donovan Mitchell. The last two games, not only has he put up big numbers, zero total turnovers.
Wow, it really looks like he could not miss in the fourth quarter. And Jalen, just very quickly, I want to celebrate this play. You see how where it starts at the logo, splits the defense, and then jumps up, takes the contact, spins, and finishes at the rim. This was spectacular, and this is exactly what they need to become a true duo in Denver. Moving on, Jalen. Last night, some hardware was given out. Giannis Antetokounmpo was the defensive player of the year. Do you think he is deserved of this award?
I'm a voter, and I picked Anthony Davis. The Lakers defense drastically improved, and I know Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee's giving them quality minutes up front, but they not like Brook Lopez. And Giannis and him formed Twin Towers defensively, where Brook Lopez is going to also be All-NBA. There won't be another Laker All-NBA defensively. I picked AD.
Jalen, the Lakers play tonight, game five against the Blazers. The Blazers are without Damian Lillard. What is the roadmap for an upset for the Blazers without Dame?
Well, they're going to be in trouble. The series ends tonight. Portland became a feel-good story the way Dame captured everybody's minds in the bubble by putting up big performances. But the Los Angeles Lakers understand did not carry a series led by LeBron James. It's over tonight.
We will be back on Friday. We're off tomorrow. Enjoy the playoffs. Make sure you listen to our podcast.
Thank you. You're far too kind.
We always say give the people what they want. Part of that is podcast exclusive content where we get to discuss a little bit longer some of the things that were in the television show content. One of those is the Nuggets and Jazz game. Now, Jalen, I remember last year, it felt like the Nuggets were going to go as deep in the playoff as Nikola Jokic could take them. The stretch Mark 5 had a coming out party. Like he showed up as sort of like a playoff MVP level performance, right? And he really put himself on the map as a superstar in the league. And Jamal Murray was always kind of like the Robin to his Batman. But now it seems like they are a true, true, true duo. And let's not forget, Jamal Murray is just kind of warming up. Like I think he's played what? Like 5-6 games in Orlando? And last night, watching that game in the fourth quarter, he absolutely caught fire, like Jamal Crawford-level fire, where it just seemed like every time the ball left his hand, it was going in the basket or going to a teammate for an open shot.
Here's what's happened. Here is what happens when you realize you have a foundational piece in the Joker. You have a budding all-star with all NBA potential in Murray. You're trying to figure how to build around him. So you'll take a flyer on Michael Porter Jr. and put him on ice really last year. So now you use that year. You let Millsap play those minutes because he's already under contract. But then you want to go deeper into your roster. What can I really get from Beasley? What can I really get from Craig? What can I really get from Barton? What can I really get from Morris? And as this playoff started, I told you that they need to establish a pecking order. What allowed that to happen is Michael Porter Jr. showed that he's their third best player right now. So now when you have somebody in the backcourt, you have somebody up front, and then you have your big guy, now you can move the pieces around to get your role players to come in and play a couple of quality minutes of D, make a couple of open jump shots, and play their role to the maximum. Because I told you, I didn't like the dynamic of watching them play early in the playoffs. It seemed like 11 players had the green light.
And yeah, like, it just seemed like everything, like Dozier, like there's just, it's a lot of players in the rotation. And yeah, one thing I always say about these duos is we've got some great duos in the NBA, like two all-stars on sort of 10 teams, right? And there's some redundancies, though. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, two great players. A little bit of redundancies in their game and how they get used on the floor. Russell Westbrook, James Harden, two great players. A little bit of redundancy. I like truly complementary duos like Luka KP, LeBron AD, Kyrie KD, which people aren't talking about. And I can see it here with Murray and Jokic because the Nuggets run their offense through Jokic. But if Murray can get going like he was, it gives them a lot of opportunity to rest each other at different times, take turns, and also just it gives Jokic someone to pass to and vice versa. Because let's not forget, one of the biggest plays of the game, Jokic was in the corner where you don't see him too much. Jokic is not a corner spot up three shooter. But you get Murray is just so hot that he sucks so much defense towards him, and Jokic gets to shoot a wide open three, nails it right in front of the bench. I loved it. I love to see that, but Jacoby, do you think they can win the next two games in this series?
I believe that the Denver Nuggets are a better team without Bogdanovich and would be disappointed that they lost. I would consider Utah upsetting them. That's mm-hmm. how I would look. I would look at it as Donovan Mitchell carried Utah to upset them. And I know Rudy Gobert is the stifle tower, but looking deep into the roster, one of my irrational confidence guys, Jordan Clarkson, he sneak in and get 17. You know, like it just certain players that the Denver Nuggets are allowing to get off that you would think on paper they would do a better job of defending. So I'm still going to pick the Nuggets. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, there is a part of me. Here's another way I look at it. If I'm the team that's playing them in the next round, I'd rather see the Jazz than the Nuggets. I just feel like the floor is higher and the ceiling is higher for a Nuggets team than there is for a Jazz team, especially without Bogdanovich, who does so much for them, and with Conley just coming back. But that's a fun series to watch. We got a bunch of games today to watch too. But Jay, I want to get back to the Paul George thing, right? Because I'm watching the game last night and it's late. I knew I couldn't go straight to sleep. And I wanted to watch a little inside the NBA. So I was like, let me watch the post game, okay? And obviously Doc had such an impactful speech, an impassioned speech. But Paul George says, the bubble got to me, quote unquote. Said he was down. Said he was depressed, dealing with anxiety. It really felt like he was confessing that he had some sort of mental health troubles in Orlando. And it's a very, we're all living through unique situations in our lives right now. But we're in our homes, you know what I mean? And we're around our family. And we can't go to gyms and bars and movie theaters, but like they are in a hotel room, don't have their family there yet, doing nothing but playing basketball. It's gotta also be difficult with the fight against social injustice going on. And I just really appreciated him being that candid. I really, really did appreciate that from him.
And also the one thing about being a former player and now working in this job, man, now that I think about it, I'm going on 30 years in the NBA, fam. I'm going on 30 years in the NBA. 30 years.
Shouldn't tell you that.
And the reason why I bring that up is the credibility that comes from this job, in particular when I first started doing it, ultimately comes from your peers, because I was a player when I started working in the media. And so this was before all of the shows on ESPN had people coming on. This is before NBA TV. This is before YouTube. This is before social media. Okay. And one of the things early I recognized that I did that people appreciated is I go on TV and entertain the public that ain't in the foxhole and take them close to the pool without jumping in as possible, whether it's story times, whether it's breaking down stuff on the show or whatever. But the one thing that I realized that they appreciated the most is there were a lot of things that I knew players knew I knew, but they knew that I did not say what I knew. And I'll just leave it like that as it relates to the Paul George situation. But also as it relates to basketball, the anxiety and depression we talk about your physical attributes, but having your head on straight is everything. And to be able to articulate that you're not feeling the best version of yourself, to go get therapy from the team therapist. Yeah, the public's going to clown you when you play bad. And that's what comes with being a celebrity. You know, so when you score 14, when you score 11, when you score 9, people not going to feel bad for us. Let them score 9 again. People ain't going to care. That's just how it works in this game. And I know he wasn't looking for sympathy. But what I hope happened is it inspired somebody else out there that may be going through something, giving them strength to figure out that they can find a way to fight through it.
Now, Jalen, there's something developing right now. There was discussion about the Raptors potentially boycotting game one of their series against the Celtics. They had a practice today. The Celtics have a practice today. They plan to have sort of like a joint meeting between those two teams to discuss how they should handle, use their platform in the wake of the Jacob Blake shooting to draw attention to social injustice, and if they should play. If they called your phone as a group, conference called you into this meeting, what would your advice be to these young athletes?
You see the picture behind me, Jacoby, and I know it's the pod, but anybody listening to the pod, I'm pretty sure seen the show at least once. Standing on the shoulder of giants is the Ali Summit. And if you notice in that picture, the one thing that I think people underestimate, how many basketball players in that picture? You're looking at it. How many basketball players in that picture?
Two.
Exactly. The most iconic picture to ever happen as it relates to social justice in sports. It was when Muhammad Ali decided that he would not accept his entry into the military. Jim Brown set it up. That's in Ohio. A young Lou Alcindor's there. Look at that Pete. He don't even have no, before he even changed his name. He was right out of college. And Bill Russell, the all-time champion. I think the picture that's behind me should be a modern-day version of what they should do. Still play the game. Still play the games. But here's what I think players should do. Don't play them on time. And what you do is you get that audience either at the beginning of the game or right before the third quarter. I like personally right before the third quarter. Right before the third quarter. And you do a sit-in. This is something that black people needed to do in the 60s, Jacoby, in order to get into restaurants at a time when we needed to cross the street when white people were coming. We did sit-ins peacefully. They could do a sit-in on the floor and set up the infrastructure to let the league and let the world know a few bullets that they hope to get accomplished. Come with the bullets. Come with the bullets. We want to see these changes happening in the NBA. We want our owners and our league to help see these changes happen in the community. And as a former player that has done so very much for his community, and I appreciate you for always being 10 toes down with me, I don't want to feel like I'm giving basketball players extra responsibility that other entertainers don't have, or public figures or other people don't have. Because like Paul George says, like, he is one man. But the reason why it's important for them to do so is because they have strength in numbers. People can always talk about how much they want to see equality and want to do what's right. But Dan Snyder changed the name because of money. That's why he changed the name.
Oh, yeah. He didn't just wake up one day and grew a conscience. Yeah. He didn't wake up one day and say, wait a second, this is a racist name. I got to change that.
Correct. So when you have the power, that's my 74%, and then you have the money, and follow me on the timing. When we first got into that bubble, they played 8 games. And you know what happened those 8 games? Players got paid for the season. So therefore, this ain't interrupting your bread either. This is the perfect time and the biggest stage with the biggest names, the biggest teams to stage a sit-in and have distinct items of action that you want to see get accomplished. And then you know what you do? Resume playing the game that you love.
Well, I
you because know what? You're in the bubble anyway.
I could kick that up a notch too. You sit in for 7 minutes and 46 seconds, which is the amount of time that Officer Chauvin had his knee on the neck of George Floyd. 8 minutes and 46 seconds. 8:46 is how long you sit in for. And then right when that's up, you go back to playing basketball. I haven't considered that. I think it's interesting. You know, and then you wonder like, can protest be league sanctioned, right? So you say you let everybody know that you're going to do this. So do you think that all up and down the chain of command of the NBA and the broadcast partners of the game, that it's sort of like a known thing that it's going to happen? Do you stay in the locker room? Do you sit on the floor? How do you express? Do you use a microphone? How do you express what you want to see change?
Jacoby, I want to say this respectfully. I want to say this respectfully. The only time we figured that people that don't look like us want to make change to help benefit us is when we influence the money. That's the only time. If we can influence their money, that's when they'll listen to us. That's why I just brought up Dan Snyder. It influenced his money. He made change quick. It influenced his money. Made change quick. Right? So, This as players, how you can affect the money. When things don't happen on schedule. That's how you affect the money. The game's supposed to start at 8. And they ain't playing at 8. You affecting the money. The game don't start till 9. You affecting the money.
It puts Disney and Turner in a position to be like, do we stay on this? Do we go to break? Or if we go to break, is that disrespectful? If we don't, does that mess with the money? We didn't build this into our day. We didn't build this into our commercial schedule. So it will upset the apple cart a little bit. But you still suggest they play the game they love.
You already in the bubble. If you're going to be in the bubble, you might as well play the game.
It's a good point.
You're going to be there, you might as well play. If you ain't going to play, you ain't no even reason to be there. You might as well be on the street mobilizing. So if you're going to be there, play the game. But how you do it is you interrupt the time. And people are betting on these games. People are buying commercial ads. And you just talked about a lot of the partners. And there's so many more. When things don't happen to on schedule, you affect the money. And then you know what all of those corporations are going to do? They're going to look down at their phones and look at their computers and realize they sent all of these emails about how they want to be more inclusive and how they want to make change. And then you keep score. Who's actually done it? Since this has happened, Jacoby, can you tell me a couple of corporations or entities that have made substantial change toward racial equality in powerful, dynamic situations? I can't really think of any. You?
There's been some high-profile donations made. And as you know, my sister-in-law works at diversity inclusion at a large corporation. She's been talking to her counterparts at other large corporations. And they're discussing hiring practices being changed and recruiting processes being changed. And I think that there has been some boots on the ground policy change at large corporations and some big number donations being made in that regard, but no huge splashy headlines, you know, in that regard.
So again, I as much as people may want to love equality and black people, I'm going to keep going back to the money. It's 500 Fortune 500 companies. 2% of them are headed by black people. I don't see them making no changes. It's one black president in the NBA. Let's see if some change happens.
Mm-hmm.
What about the NFL? Agreed. In powerful positions. What about ownership? I ain't seen no changes. So until that change happens to the player's liking, that's your power. That's your power. Because they want you to entertain them so you and them can make money. That's the business relationship. My really good friend David Jacoby always tells me, it's not show friends,
it's show business. But I say it much better than you did just there, though. But that's something I learned early on in the game. It's not called show friends, it's called show business. It is a business. And when you follow the money and when you affect the money, that's the most direct way to affect change. And I think the guy
sitting behind me, when Bill Russell is in Ohio and not in Boston, Red Auerbach on the phone. When Lou Alcindor ain't in LA, they on the phone. You see what I'm saying? When Jim Brown ain't toting that football for the Browns, they like, so Jim, what happened again? And so that's how you affect the change. Because again, a lot of people do see us as just shut up and dribble. We don't want this to get in the way of the sport we love. You know, let's talk about it on Monday. Let's talk about it when the season is over. So it don't matter if we take a knee. It don't matter if we protest. It don't matter if we happy. It don't matter if we mad. No matter. It doesn't matter. It hasn't matter. They have a chance to affect change, and I believe they're going to do something substantial.
I think so too. And I look forward to seeing how it manifests itself before that big game one of the second round series. We are off tomorrow because the Nuggets won. So there will be a game that will replace us tomorrow. No pod, no show tomorrow, but we will be back on Friday. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We got to hear the beat.